I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. The opening part of this message, the introduction, if you will, I'm largely going to read. And the reason I'm going to read it is because if there's a message that I don't need to get off on a rabbit trail on, it's this one. I need to stay on point, stay focused. And as we get into it, you're going to find out I could very easily get on a rabbit trail, political and otherwise, and never return to the Scripture. And that's not what we need. Now, if somebody online, which at the moment we're not online, and I'm so sorry about that, but even if it's somebody here, if you disagree with anything that I've said, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. Come talk to me. Text me, message me, email me, whatever you need to do. But please don't take to the internet and kill me. Reasonable, grown-up people don't use social media as a whipping post. They talk with one another as adults. One of the problems in America is we get on social media where we're relatively anonymous and nobody's coming after us, and we just shoot off at the mouth using a keyboard, and nobody's actually talking and listening to truth. And so with that in mind, just honestly, that's more for anybody that would have seen this online. I don't think we'll have much of that here. So now we're on the runway, and it may be that the runway is longer than the actual trip. As I say this, this is a statement of fact. It is not meant to be taken as a political endorsement one way or the other. The Biden administration and Democrat-controlled Congress have made LGBT issues, specifically those regarding transgender individuals, a top priority. And this is highlighted by the recent confirmation of Rachel Levine, the first openly transgender federal official to be confirmed by the United States Senate. Levine now serves as the Assistant Secretary for Health in the Department of Health and Human Services. Additionally, H.R. 5, which has already passed the House of Representatives, it's also called the Equality Act, is currently before the Senate Judiciary Committee. I highly recommend that you reach out to your senator's office. If you're in Virginia, that's Senator Tim Kaine and Senator Mark Warner. If you happen to be from another state, you reach out to your senator's office and you make it very clear that you oppose the passage of H.R. 5. And if they ask you why, you can simply say, because God says so. If it becomes law, this bill will have far-reaching implications. I pulled some information. Brother Dan Zacharias, our friend at ODAC, is much more succinct than I am. This is what he says, and he's right. H.R. 5, the Equality Act, defines the word sex in the Civil Rights Act of 1964 to include sexual orientation and gender identity. The acronym for that is SOGI, S-O-G-I. How many of y'all have ever heard the term SOGI? I'm going to use it a lot. Whenever you hear SOGI, that stands for Sexual Orientation Gender Identity. Okay? To clarify that meaning, it adds SOGI language to every part of federal code that is affected by the Civil Rights Act. This trend is also evident here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. On July the 1st, 2020, the Virginia Values Act took effect as law. As a result, guidance is being issued from officials regarding the implementation of SOGI policies. These actions, both at the state and federal levels, represent real and present dangers to our First Amendment rights of free speech and freedom of worship. Though their various incarnations purport to exempt religious groups that are, quote, private in nature, they do not exempt organizations that are thought to be of, quote, public accommodation. The problem is most churches operate in the spirit of public accommodation by virtue of their outreach mission. As you look at our church here, are we considered a private club or are we a place of public accommodation? That's worded exactly as they want it worded. We are not a private club. Now, membership is granted to people somewhat exclusively based on what we believe are Bible principles. But anyone can come in here and worship. That makes us a place of public accommodation. Most churches operate in that spirit and are in great danger. The guidance being offered, now this is why I felt the Lord led me to come to this now. Because it's now found its way into the Wythe County Public Schools. Okay? The guidance being offered to our public schools as to how to implement newly formed policies surrounding the LGBT movement are of particular concern to many in our county and throughout the Commonwealth. Among the concerns are the use of restroom and locker facilities, participation in sports, as well as the lack of parental involvement in student counseling regarding SOGI issues. The guidance, as it's currently written, allows a guidance counselor or a teacher to discuss SOGI issues with your child of any age without the parent's consent or even knowledge. That is satanic. Both sides are gearing up for what promises to be an eventful school board meeting in April. Well, we don't have to go to those because of Granite. Your taxes still pay for our public schools. You absolutely have skin in this game. If you'll permit me a little bit of what may seem like self-servingness, it should be noted that I and other like-minded pastors predicted from our pulpits this kind of result. But many in our conservative county dismissed this outcome as something, quote, that would never happen here. Can one of our ushers get that door, please? Someone's trying to get in. No, don't go away. Don't run away. She ran away. You might can catch her. She's to the left, brother. She should be out there still. I've had conversations with people in this county. Completely not worried about what goes on in Richmond because this is Wythe County and this kind of stuff, we won't allow that here. Guess what, friends? It's here. It's here. Let me make this clear. Our concerns do not mean that we hate those involved in public schools. My sister has been a public school teacher for more than a decade and demonstrates what I've always known. There are many teachers, administrators, and staff that love the Lord. They love their country. They love this county. And they love their students and do all they can to provide a first-class education. The students of the Wythe County Public School System are some of the finest you could hope to meet. But these truths do not change the fact that public education in our nation is failing our kids at a systemic level. I'm going to say that again. Public education in our nation is failing our kids at a systemic level. The powers that be in Richmond and Washington, D.C. are bent on forcing social and political values on the population, no matter how it actually affects the students. And the time has come for Christians to speak up, but in the right way. Now, this issue has great potential for volatility, but I felt compelled by God's Spirit to address it from a biblical perspective. There's some introductory statements that I think need to be made to provide proper context. By the way, that's what we talked about as far as H.R. 5. Number one. How we address LGBT issues or any others must not be based upon culture, preference, tradition, or opinion. Our approach must be firmly rooted in the unchangeable truth of God's Word. We will not help anybody by approaching this from the perspective of we think it's gross. We will not help anybody by approaching this from the perspective of this is contrary to nature. By the way, there's a lot of things we say are contrary to nature that aren't. Just because something is natural does not make it noble. Can I remind you, we are part of a sin nature. Our nature is sinful. There are a lot of things that are natural, that are not noble, that are sinful. Somebody makes me mad, it's in my nature to hit them. That doesn't mean I should. A young man sees a young lady and he's attracted to her. It's in his nature to do things he ought not with her. But that does not make it right. So the argument of what is natural is a red herring. There's no point in getting into that. And that's not helpful. If we're going to help people, we must maintain a focus that is laser sharpened in the Word of God. Period. Number two, and this is something that's important to bring into this conversation. If sexual orientation and gender identity is a human or societal construct, we are free to adapt it as necessary. But if these things are regulated by an omnipotent sovereign creator, we have a responsibility to take a position that is in keeping with His will. Now, what do I mean with all that? If this is just man-made, if gender really is fluid, if marriage really doesn't matter, then yeah, we can adjust it any way we want. But if there's a God in heaven that said how things ought to be, then we have to stay true to Him. Number three, proclaiming what God's Word says about any choice or lifestyle is not an indicator of hate. It is an indicator of a Christian's conviction that God's Word is inspired, inerrant, and infallible, and must therefore be obeyed. Number four, for the church to stand on biblical principle is not mutually exclusive from being loving. We got this idea that we can either be a loving church or we can be a right church. I got news for you. You can't be loving without being right, and you can't be right without being loving. But here's what happened. We approached it all the wrong way. Now I want you to hear me through before you show me the door. Is Fellowship Baptist Church an LGBT welcoming ministry? The answer is absolutely yes. But we are not an LGBT affirming ministry. What's the difference? Anybody that wants to walk through those doors and is not intent on disrupting or making problems, anyone that wants to walk through those doors and sit in these pews and hear the Word of God preached and taught and hear the gospel is welcome here. Anyone. But we will not, we cannot affirm wickedness. The difference between that is welcoming is yes, you can come. Affirming is when you tell somebody it's okay and how you are is just fine. I got news for you. How you are it and fine and how I am it and fine. Until we're perfect, until we're just like Christ, it's not fine. We are an LGBT welcoming church. Just as we welcome addicts, drunkards, liars, thieves, gamblers, braggarts, cheaters, whoremongers, adulterers, prostitutes, gossips, malcontents, and all manner of sinners. But we cannot and we will not affirm behavior in ourselves or others that is contrary to the Word of God. Scriptural conviction is not equal to hatred. But here's where we made our mistake. When we first approached the beginnings of a really public LGBT move, see, it's always been around, but in the years past, you didn't hear a whole lot about it. It was done behind closed doors and in the shadows, but now it's out there in the middle of everything. And here's how we responded with unkind terminology and name calling. And we used glib phrasing like God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And we abandon our moral high ground on the matter of marriage. Why in the world did we lose the battle for marriage in this country? It's not because the gays got organized. It's not because of the Supreme Court. I'll tell you why. Because heterosexual Christians stopped treating their marriages the biblical way that they should have. Right. And if we're not going to stand up for biblical marriage, then we have no moral high ground to go against untraditional marriage. Judgment, Peter said, begins at the house of God.
And when we have a divorce rate that's almost the same as the world's, we got a problem. And when we got men running around mistreating their wives because they think Ephesians 5 gives them that right, we got a problem. And when we got wives that won't submit to their husbands, we got a problem. We've got no moral high ground to say anything about marriage.
Back to reading, Andy. Number 5. We have a responsibility to lovingly proclaim the truth of God's word in hopes of helping people find the deliverance from sin that we ourselves once desperately needed.
Oh, but Andy, those people, they're lost causes.
No, they're not.
They're reprobate.
I got news for you. Only God can make a determination who is and isn't reprobate. We don't have that ability, nor do we have that authority. Can I remind you of what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, that's a general term for all sexual sin, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, sexual sin that violates the marriage covenant, nor effeminate, that has to do with gender roles, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that's the homosexual, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Amen. But you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Aren't you glad of that? Well, I've never been a homosexual, but I've been a drunkard. God put you in the same category. I've been a reviler. God put you in the same category. So we have got to stop seeing sin as being, well, this sin is worse than this. Sin has different consequences, no question. But any sin put Jesus on the cross and damns people to hell. Cancer is cancer, isn't it? I'm keenly aware that this message will invite criticism, false charges of hate mongering and bigotry, and perhaps even greater scrutiny by government officials. Perhaps not as much since we're not online. And I do not relish any of this, nor do I enjoy controversy that can distract us from the main goal of fulfilling the Great Commission. I have no desire for this to turn into something that gets us any kind of notoriety. I know too many preachers that use the pulpit as a way to get on Fox News, and I have no desire for any of that to be the case. But it is my holy responsibility and solemn duty to preach the whole counsel of God and to not stagger at the tough issues. My heart is not to engage in self-promotion through the delivery of a controversial message. My heart is to communicate to folks that have been deceived by the devil and caught up in the confusion of gender politics, trapped in the web of misinformation, that there is help. There is hope. And His name is Jesus Christ. Our enemy is not any member of the LGBT community. Ellen DeGeneres is not our enemy. All the groups, they're not our enemies. Our enemy is Satan. And he's very busy. Paul once again told the Ephesians, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This is the devil's doing, and it is heinous in our eyes. It is vile in our eyes. It is wicked in our eyes, and what else should we expect from him? Well, Andy, Bible says we're coming to these times, it's just going to get worse and worse. And by the way, that's a misuse of that scripture. Can God send revival? He absolutely can. And I'm working for that until he takes us out of here. When will I know there's no chance for revival? When we're gone. Until then, God can send revival if he so sees fit. I'm not giving up on this country. I'm not giving up on Wythe County. The guidance that's being issued is already stirring people up. And I am going to get a little off paper here. Why are we surprised that this guidance is coming to our public schools when we've already been teaching our kids they're animals? We've been teaching our kids that God has no place in public discourse. And we've been teaching our kids that situations determine our ethics. Why should this surprise us? I'm sorry to tell you, it doesn't surprise me. And there will be a lot of people in the public school system here in Wythe County that will be against this. But this is the edict from Richmond. They have no legal authority to go against it. I don't know that the Equality Act will pass the Senate, but it will pass one day. And when it does, God help us. Now, we need to see what the Bible has to say about this.
Well, I already know what to
do. Do you? I'm not talking about what you feel about it. We need to know what the Bible says about it. So we could go to the Old Testament, which gives us a great deal of instruction in principle and precept. But here's the problem. When you pull out the Old Testament to somebody, the first thing they say is, well, that's the law. That doesn't apply anymore. Well, the Old Testament talked about slavery. By the way, the Old Testament never, never promotes slavery. Don't you love it when people that read a couple of verses become experts on the Bible? Well, you could wear clothing that was mixed fabric and that was called an abomination. That's true. And because there's so many arguments about the Old Testament, I'm not going to use the Old Testament. So we'll go to the epistles, like Romans 1. Nope. Even though there's some great information there too. But people have all kinds of things to say about Paul. I tell you what, here's what we're going to do, because this is our safest ground. Even though we believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, here's our safest ground. What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say about it? And that's why we're in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19, beginning in verse number 1. It came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, no higher authority. He answered and said unto them, have ye not read? And he's talking about Genesis 1 and 2. Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And so we come to this. What does Jesus say about transgenderism? Because if we are going to take this thing on, we better know what Jesus has to say about it. I care not what the philosophers say and what the psychiatrists say and what the politicians say. I want to know what Jesus says. If he's for it, I'm for it. If he's against it, I'm against it. Father, help us. This is a difficult subject, and I hate to sully the pulpit with it, but it's where we are as a society. And I need to be prepared to address that biblically. So help me to do that. May I do it in the right way. May my words be that which pleases you. May my spirit be that which pleases you. May Christ be lifted up in it. For it's in his name we ask these things. Amen. What Jesus says about transgenderism. There's three things that we need to consider. We need to have some consideration of some things. Number one, we need to consider deity. We need to consider deity. Would you look at verse number 4? And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them? This seems so elementary, but may I remind you that you did not appear, you were made. You were made. You are a product of holy manufacturing. Yeah, that seems so elementary to us, but the fact is, we're teaching in schools all over this country as fact that we were not made, we're an accident. And that's wrong. Fundamentally, we either believe the following about God or we do not. Do we believe that He exists? Do we believe that He is the Creator? Do we believe that He knows what He is doing? Do we believe that He has the authority to dictate to us how we should live? And do we believe that His Word directs us in that pursuit? Do we believe that or do we not? And the current transgender narrative must, by its premise, reject all of that. Hear me and hear me well. You cannot believe or support the transgender narrative and also believe in a sovereign, omnipotent, competent, benevolent God. You cannot. If He is sovereign, we have no right to choose our gender. If He is omnipotent, we have no ability to choose our gender. If He is competent, we have no reason to choose our gender. And if He is benevolent, we have no responsibility to choose our gender. So if it's left to us to choose our gender, then God is none of these things. And if God is none of these things, then He's not God. And we need to consider His deity. And Jesus' teaching clearly espouses the truth of a sovereign, omnipotent, competent, benevolent God. So we need to consider deity. And then number two, we need to consider determination. We need to consider determination. We're still in verse number 4. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them. What do you mean, Andy? Maybe it'd be helpful, and grammatically it's allowable, to add the words to be to help us understand what we're looking at here. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them to be? The sovereign creator of the universe didn't just make us. He determined what we would be. God determined the gender of Adam and Eve at the moment of their beginning. Adam did not develop into a man. Eve did not decide to be a woman. They were male and female the moment He breathed life into them. It is my belief that one of the things that separates us from the animals is that everything else on those 6 days of creation, God spoke into existence. But when He made man, He touched him. He formed him out of the dust and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And that same creative act happens every time a child is conceived in the womb of his or her mother. God breathes into that child the breath of life at the moment of conception. And when he does so, he makes them male or female. He determines that. And let me stop here and give you something that you'll hear on the news and other places. There's a difference between gender and sex. No, there is not. Your gender cannot be separated from your physical characteristics. The Bible makes no such distinction, and any right-thinking scientist makes no distinction. If you are built like a male, you are male. And if you are built like a female, you are female. Period. God has determined everyone's gender at the moment of their beginning, at conception. It's in our DNA. Everyone is either XY or XX. They're called chromosomes. And you can go through all the surgeries and all of the hormone therapies and all of the counseling and all of the changing of outward appearance you want to, but you cannot change chromosomes. And if you are a male and seek to transition to a female, I'm not trying to be unkind, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but if you are a male seeking to transition to a female, you never stop being a male. You're just a mutilated male. And vice versa. And yet, we've got people now in the highest levels of federal government trying to tell kids that it's okay to mutilate yourself for something that's going to change. It is irreversible. And what we are is a determination that's made beyond our ability to impact it. Because God made that determination. And God's never wrong. There's consideration of deity. There's consideration of determination. And then there's consideration of design. That's what Jesus is saying. Have you not read that he which made them, deity, at the beginning made them, determination, male and female. God's determination results in a clear design. Males and females are designed to be both unique and complementary. Men and women are just the same. No, they are not. We are quite different. And I'm glad. I'll take it a step further. Women are not only different from men, in most ways, they're superior.
You get any amens out of that?
In the respective design of males and females, allow for certain functionalities because God designed it that way. The respective designs allow for reproduction, the physical ability to bear offspring. It allows for recreation, the pleasure that's associated with a godly physical union. Relation, the communion that exists within a godly marriage. And restoration, there are restorative effects of a proper godly relationship. There are heights and peaks of restoration and peace that I can only attain when my wife's there telling me everything's going to be all right. And I've got news for you. If you go against all of that and you pursue a transgender lifestyle, you are robbing yourself of all of those things. You cannot reproduce. You will not, in God's ideal way, enjoy the recreation. You will not have the communion that you could have in a godly marriage, the relation, and you will not have the restorative effects. Well, that's the only way that I'll ever be happy. And yet, there's a study in Sweden, and Sweden is a country that is very pro-LGBT. There's a study in Sweden that determined that people that have undergone gender reassignment surgery are 19 times more likely to commit suicide. They're 2.5 times more likely to have cardiovascular disease. They're 2.5 times more likely to need extended or lifetime psychiatric care. Does that sound like a good decision to you? Especially when it's all based on feelings. And if you've paid any attention at all, you know that feelings change. I'm not trying to be funny, but for 6 months when Claire was little, she was a tiger. We didn't take her to the tattoo parlor and get stripes put on her and put her out in the yard and make her find her own food. You know why? Because things change. That girl who's a tomboy eventually will grow out of that. You say, what if they don't? Then it's because of a sin-saturated media and entertainment industry that is constantly pumped into those kids that you're different and you need to follow this path. And can I remind you, Satan is in control of all of that. We do well to turn the TV off for our kids. We do well to not let them have a smartphone. Oh, my. Well, I need to be able to get in touch with them, Andy. There's something called Gab. It looks like a smartphone. And you can text, and you can call, and that's it. I like it. You can get in touch with them. Either our Creator designed us well, or He did not. And if He did not, then we can't trust Him. Either He got it right, or He didn't. And if we serve a God that didn't get it right, then what are we serving Him for? I'm telling you, in two verses, Jesus made clear where He stands on transgenderism. It's not of God. It is not compatible with Christian living. If we ever needed a so what, we need it now. What do we do with this, Andy? What do we do with this?
Do we go to the school board meeting and kick the door in and yell and holler and fuss and fume? No! We present ourselves to be what we should be, a voice of reason in this ridiculous culture. We don't need to be wild-eyed and crazy. We need to be people that can lovingly and with an informed way present what thus saith the Lord.
Because people need that truth. Those kids that are confused need that truth. Andy, what would you do if one walked in here? Some of you remember, one did. His name was Michael. Insisted that I call him Stephanie, and I wouldn't do it. Met him at the truck stop. We had our services at the truck stop then. We hope to again one day. And we always say, if you want to come to church, we'll send the van over and get you and bring you to church. And he took us up on it. And it was clear from his appearance that he was a man seeking to become a woman. And he sat through the service and he listened to the gospel and he was quiet and didn't cause any problems. Me and another gentleman took him in this room right here and for 2 hours tried to win him to Christ. He called himself Stephanie. And I said, what was your name before you began transitioning? He said, it was Michael. I said, I'm a real big proponent of respecting moms, aren't you? He said, absolutely. I said, out of respect to your mom, what did she name you? Michael. Well, then I'm going to call you Michael. And he agreed to it. Wouldn't have mattered. I still would have called him Michael. And in 2 hours' time, we'd see him start to relent. And it was almost as though you could see the devil step in. And no. We went back and forth and back and forth. I was physically exhausted after that meeting. In that meeting, he looked me in the eye and admitted to me, I'm transitioning because I want to. It's my choice. And by the way, for those that say they're born that way, once again, that's not an argument you want to get into, because we're all born into sin. And to say you're born that way does not at all give credence to the position. I was born with a temper. Does that mean I should use it? All of those things are white noise. They're distractions. The fundamental question that we need answered is, did God set this up or does man set this up? And if God set this up, does he know what he's doing or does he not? So what do? We tell our school board that if you don't buck this, I'll run against the one in my district. All of us ought to line up to run against them. But we don't have our kids in the public. Some of you do, but we don't have our kids in the public. It doesn't matter. They're with county kids, and they deserve to be stood up for. And our tax money pays for this. We tried forever to get a school crossing sign out here, and they said, well, you'll have to pay for it. Why? Because you're not a public school. I said, you mean I don't have to pay taxes? And then I use the word that scares them to death. Discrimination. Sign was out there 2 days later. And we didn't pay for it. Because I asked them, does that mean our kids' lives are less important than other kids' lives? Pow! Hey, school board, you have an opportunity, even if it's ceremonial, even if we can't follow through on it, even if they bring in other people, you have an opportunity to take a stand and say, we will not go down this road. It is not the wishes of the parents of this county. But if they don't push back, every one of them ought to be replaced. Every one of them. Because they, like every government official, work for us. We offer ourselves as a reasonable voice in a world that is completely unreasonable. And what do we say? We're kind, but we're firm. And we're biblically and scientifically prepared. And we follow God's word, not the prevailing culture. And we're aware of the insidious forces that seek to indoctrinate our kids through the doors of media, entertainment, and even education. And we protect them from that. And more than anything, we pray. And we pray. And even if you can't go to the meeting, I'm not sure that I can because of a conflict, but even if you can't go to the meeting, you email every one of those school board members and you let them know where you stand. Not in an unkind way, but in a firm way. You email or call our senators and you tell them where you stand on H.R. 5. This is not a Republican or Democrat thing. This is a moral thing. They've heard from me plenty of times. But we pray. And we offer the one thing that can fix all of this. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been my observation that somebody who is truly saved tends to come around on LGBT issues. Just like they come around on abortion. They come around on freedoms. Because now the Holy Spirit's there saying, this is where you should stand. Because it's in this book. And this would more be for those online. But perhaps you'll listen to this message one day and you're caught up in this issue. I say this as lovingly as I know how to say. You've been deceived. Satan himself has deceived you. You will never be happy. It's like the song says, if you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus be Lord of your life. That's the only way you'll have it. Our culture is complicit. Professional sports stars, Hollywood, the media, even the conservative media has all given way to this. We keep giving ground and giving ground and giving ground and giving ground and we refuse to stand. And before long, there's nothing left. Winston Churchill famously said that a pacifist is somebody who feeds the lion hoping it'll eat him last. Edmund Burke is attributed to have said, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is good men to do nothing." And that's what we're doing. But those caught up in this issue can find the answer they so desperately need. There is hope and there is help in Christ alone. And He's our only hope. So to answer the question, what does Jesus say about transgenderism? I think we can come to this conclusion. He hates it. He's against it. But He loves everyone that's caught up in it. And He'll save them if they'll have Him. And that's our message.